The Witcher 3 is out, and I wish I could tell you how it is, but apparently even dumbing it down for consoles won't let it run on my PC. Tonight is May 24th, 2015, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
So let's do the running bet. How many times is my internet going to die during the show tonight? It's been up fine all week. The last time it went down was during the show last week, which means it's going to go down again tonight. I know it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you are joining us here at Voice of Geeks Network, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.vognetwork.com. That's where ActDef says twice. That's his guess, how many times the internet's going to go down in the next hour for me. You can participate there, and everybody will tell you not to freak out when the internet does die and the radio stream goes silent. You can go there, and you can also check in, because I'm going to be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, but you can check in if you don't have anything intelligent to say on the website and get some points for our May leaderboard, which is we are nearing the end of May. So just like Tiger Claw and Dark Tetsuya, they were the first two to check in. Dark Tetsuya is always like, I never make it in the first two. And I think this is 2 weeks in a row for Dark Tetsuya. Way to be on the ball, Dark Tetsuya. If you're listening on the podcast feed somewhere in the episode, probably when the internet goes out, you'll hear a passphrase. And then you can put that in on the site. And that way you don't have to worry about my internet going out if you just listen to the podcast, because all that is cut out. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. One thing I do want to say is, this is here in America, we are celebrating Memorial Day tomorrow. Celebrating is kind of a weird word for it. But I do wish everybody a safe Memorial Day. And when you're out grilling hot dogs and stuff, take some time to remember those who have served, who we've lost. We obviously would not be here without the sacrifices made by several of us, and I know I could not do what anybody in any kind of military or police or any of that kind of stuff. I could not do it. I am a wuss. So thank you for doing that for me, and thank you to those families who are family members of those who are doing what I could not do, because I am a wuss. Yes. Want to kind of bring this up again, because we are less than a month away from the Southern Fried Game Room Expo. We are sponsoring it, and we hope that you go there June 19th through 21st at the Atlanta Marriott Century Center. You can get tickets over there. Just Google for them. I think their website is southernfriedgameroomexpo.com, so it's easier to just Google it. Make sure you spell it right. Go over there, get some tickets. It's 3 days of a whole bunch of pinball and arcade games on free play once you pay to get in. Billy Mitchell's going to be there. Ben Heck's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Two of those three are people you probably want to go see, and I'm the third that you probably don't want to see. Come join. I'll be there all 3 days. I won't be there Saturday night, but I will be there all 3 days. They've asked me to moderate on a panel. I don't know what panel it is. I just know it's Saturday at 1. And then I think there's like a podcasting panel on Friday night that I'll be attending. They're doing two of those, a Friday night and a Saturday night. I'll be on the Friday night panel because they can't fit all the podcasters on one panel anymore. So they've made two panels. It's a great time to go out. I was actually just at that hotel this past weekend. It's because TimeGate was this weekend. Actually, it just ended. It's a convention. It's not really a gaming convention. It started in 2005 as a convention about Doctor Who and Stargate, hence Time Gate. Get it? But unfortunately, with Stargate no longer being on TV in any form and Doctor Who exploding in popularity, it's a Doctor Who convention is basically what it is. And it's even like, you know, everything's themed Doctor Who. All the rooms are named after Doctor Who things like Gallifrey and stuff like that. And all the signs are done as London Underground signs, you know, the red circle with the thing in the center. It was actually my first time going to Time Gate. But the reason I went, for one thing, is I do love Doctor Who. But the reason I went is because our friends over at ATLVR, that does the Atlanta virtual reality meetups and all that stuff, they actually had a panel there talking about the future of virtual reality and what they're doing as a company and stuff. And it was actually filmed in 360 degrees. I don't think the camera worked for the entire time. But it was kind of interesting to see, you know, they're a company that's doing consulting and stuff as well. So I went out there to support them. They are also going to be at MomoCon next week, Friday night at 9:30 p.m. I am covering MomoCon. I will be there mostly on Saturday. I will be there Friday night covering the Indie Gaming Festival. So if you're going to go into MomoCon, which is an anime convention at the Georgia World Congress Center, I'll be there. There's going to be a lot of great indie gaming stuff there. If you're not into anime, there's going to be a lot of gaming stuff at MomoCon this year. And they'll be there. And then also ATLVR is going to be at Southern Fried Game Room Expo, probably showing off some virtual reality. So there's a lot of chances here in Atlanta area to get your gaming on. And we're sponsoring one of them. Sky says, Atlanta has too many damn conventions. I haven't even gotten into the furry conventions because I don't go to those. But I'm sure they have gaming content as well. We have another anime convention. We've got a lot of stuff. Eric RPG says, so Atlanta is like the Akiba of cons. It is like, it's kind of interesting because like realtor websites will do these city ranking things. And Atlanta always tops the list for like geekiest city. And it's because of its, one of the things they look at is proximity to science fiction and gaming and conventions. And Atlanta is like closest to more conventions than any other major metropolitan area because there are so many here. So, and it's cheaper to live here than San Francisco by far. To register participation for this episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase signature. And due to the late posting of this episode, that will be available for 2 weeks. That's enough about us. Why don't we go ahead and get into the news and stuff. And I wanted to talk about this first story, something that I talked about last week when I gave my personal anecdote. And I was like, you know, hey, we didn't know much about what was going on with the Nintendo World Championships. And I was like, hey, I should show up. Right. And wear my Nintendo World Championships gear from 1990 when I was a semifinalist. Nobody can take that away from me, even though I totally didn't earn it. I still was. And I have the hat to prove it. But the Nintendo World Championships, they are bringing them back in 2015 for E3. I was saying, you know, I should go to one of the qualifiers because the qualifiers were going to be at Best Buys around the country. And I was going to go and not do well, but I would show up. VG247 reports that Nintendo World Championships will only take place in 8 Best Buy store locations across the entire United States. 8. They had 17 locations in 1990, and they were held at like fairgrounds and huge like not Best Buys. Like they actually had a traveling show in 1990, and now they're in 2015. I guess maybe the Wii U is hurting them. If they can't afford to do now what they could do in 1990, maybe they are hurting. The championships mode of Ultimate NES Remix on the 3DS will be featured. So now we know they're not bringing back the 1990. It's going to be the 3DS version. The challenges will be score-based in Super Mario Bros., Super Mario Bros. 3, and Dr. Mario. Each location will send its top scorer to the final in Los Angeles. The Los Angeles leg will host several rounds. 8 additional competitors will be selected by Nintendo as well. So you're going to have there's your 16. And, so it's going to be like the 1990, but instead of actually getting 16 different cities, they're only doing 8. The qualification will take place from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. local time on May 30th, next Saturday. So you can find the full list. So here's where it's going to be. In San Francisco, California, in Torrance, California. So already 1/4 of the Nintendo World Championships finalists will be from California. Well, 1/8 if they're going to add. But 1/4 of the actual qualifying are going to be from California. Miami, Florida. Schaumburg, Illinois. Maple Grove, Minnesota. Long Island City, New York, Dallas, Texas, and Tacoma, Washington. So that's it. So if you've got to be in California, Florida, Illinois, Minnesota, New York, Texas, or Washington on next Saturday. You don't have to be from there. You can drive out if you really want to take a road trip just to try to qualify. And this is kind of interesting, too, because what I was talking about with 1990 is that they only were in one city in a weekend, and they would travel from city to city. So what you wound up having was somebody who maybe got second in one city would actually travel the next weekend to the following city and try to reapply. So it was you would actually see people who did really well at other cities keep going until they made it to the finals. And I think one person who did make it to the finals in Las Vegas in 1990, he did like go to three cities before he finally won on his fourth try and got in, representing a city that he didn't live in. So I'm kind of disappointed that, you know, it's not like they don't have local Nintendo reps that can go into, you know, like they do have no local Nintendo reps that can go into Best Buy. And I guess they just didn't want to fly that many people out. So, and I don't know how the other eight are going to be selected by Nintendo. That can always be kind of a weird can of worms. And I'm going to give another anecdote here about my past, where that's very scary to see eight additional competitors will be selected by Nintendo as well. About 13 years ago, I was doing stuff with a cable television network that no longer exists. And this cable television network that no longer exists was about gaming. And they were having their first ever award show in Los Angeles, and they were giving away 50 tickets to this event. And they had people sign up and as a sweepstakes, and they were giving away 50 tickets. And they were picked at quote-unquote random. They were selected by this cable television network. But I was told I was going to be one of the ones selected, and in fact I was. I was actually the only person they selected that lived outside of the Los Angeles area. And it was because they knew I was willing to fly in from Atlanta for the Wednesday night taping of this show. So I flew in on Wednesday, went to the thing at night, spent the night there, and then flew back Thursday. And they said, oh yeah, it's a random drawing. It wasn't. It was totally not random. So I have no clue how they're going to select those other eight competitors. It seems kind of unfair. I think they should have had 16 locations and kind of spread it out. Maybe just had like one of the locations not be in California. You know, you have your San Francisco, you have your Torrance in California. You know, go somewhere else. And some people are saying something about E3 starting in Atlanta. Tiger Claw says E3 started in Atlanta. Talking about, I guess, the conventions. E3 did not start in Atlanta. E3 started in Los Angeles. And then what happened is that the Los Angeles Convention Center was going through some renovations to make it bigger. And so E3 started in 1995 in Los Angeles, and they had 95 and 96. And then the Los Angeles Convention Center basically went through expansion and renovations, so they needed a new place. So in 1997 and 1998, they moved E3 to Atlanta, which at the time had the largest convention center in the country, which was the Georgia World Congress Center. I don't believe it's the largest anymore. Maybe the Vegas one is larger. I'm not exactly sure, even though there was a recent expansion of the Georgia World Congress Center, which is where MomoCon is, by the way. And then it went back, and they said, we will never go back to Atlanta again, because all the West Coast game developers, because that's where all the game developers were at the time. I just dropped the pen that I was playing around with. They all complained about the humidity, because it was like in July. Yeah, so good luck to, if you are in those areas, please go ahead and go. It might, you know, I'd love to hear what the experience is like. I do know we have people that live in those places, and I don't begrudge you much. I wouldn't have placed, so like I was just going to go just to go and see it. I wouldn't have actually tried, but because my pro gamer days are apparently behind me. I retired from pro gaming in 1990. I retired on top. So the big game that came out this week that everybody's been talking about is The Witcher 3. And this game, it's been in development forever. It's by CD Projekt Red, which is a company that really understands. They're like a gamer's game company. They don't like DRM. They're giving away, I think, 16 pieces of free DLC. And, you know, they're okay with piracy because, you know, they just say, you know, please pay us. But if you don't, okay. You know, and if you actually buy the boxed version of The Witcher 3, it actually comes with a little card that says, thank you for actually buying our game. And that's all they do. They praise the people who bought the game. They don't try to shame the people who didn't. So a lot of people see them as a gamer's game company. They're really on the side of the gamer, that they push having no DRM. Yes, it's available on Steam and has Steam DRM, but if you get it on GOG, there's no DRM whatsoever. And that's actually how I wound up getting it. And we kind of talked about this, and this is full disclosure, is that because we attended the E3, we were invited last year when we were still relevant, apparently, to go take a 1 hour look. Rob and I were to go see The Witcher 3 behind closed doors at E3. And they gave us actually the statue, and inside it had a GOG.com card, which was a free pre-order for The Witcher 3. So we didn't get it early. We basically just got it for free pre-ordered. So you put in the code on GOG, and we could do the pre-download, and then on Tuesday it unlocked for everybody. So we didn't get it early or anything, but it was actually, you know, provided by CD Projekt Red when we went to go see it at E3. So I installed it this week because I'm like, you know what? I was very impressed with it, and I was looking forward to playing it. And so I put it on my PC, and I start trying to play it. Now, you realize, my PC, my desktop, is about 5 years old. I think I built it like 4 or 5 years ago. And I think it was 5 years ago, because I think it was 2010 when I built it. So I built it, and apparently this is now the first game that even on low settings does not run well on my machine. The first game that is not a virtual reality game, the first monitor-based game, does not run on my PC. So it is finally now time to upgrade. But I'm like, okay, that's fine. I bought a laptop 2 years ago for the DK1. It had a really high-end mobile graphics card, which is nothing compared to desktop graphics card, but it was a really good laptop. It ran Final Fantasy 14 better than my desktop did, for instance. So I'm like, fine. DRM-free, I just copied the files that I downloaded from GOG over to my laptop and installed it on my laptop. It is below the minimum spec. Even my laptop from 2 years ago, it doesn't run it. So, and I actually did try playing it, and unfortunately, the frame rate is 10 frames a second. And you're, you know, the tutorial actually has you doing parkour and stuff, and so you've got to time jumps and everything. You can't do it when it's a low. So if I was going to play it for real, I'd have to get a console version. And apparently people were saying, yeah, this is the first time. I didn't realize my PS4 had fans in it, because this is the first time they're going full blast is playing The Witcher 3. So it's really pushing console hardware. And then this article came up that was very interesting, because Eurogamer reports that The Witcher 3, which has been met with a critical acclaim, has been out. The launch has been marred by discussions of a graphical downgrade. And it revolves around a discussion about the comparison of a finished game to PC gameplay trailer that aired 2 years ago at that old VGX Game Awards show. Remember the Joel McHale thing? The VGX trailer, which shows glimpses of a world more detailed and with more impressive visual effects, was the PC. And so what they're asking is, was the PC version neutered because PlayStation 4 and Xbox One couldn't keep up? As launch approached, all the questions remain unanswered, with a more damaging accusation arise. Did the developer, CD Projekt Red, deliberately try to mislead? Now, you've got to realize, this is the gamer's game company. This is the gamer who hates DRM and who hates DLC. This is their favorite game company, because this speaks to them. And now there's accusations that they're trying to mislead consumers. So the Eurogamer person who wrote this article went over to Poland, and he sat down with company co-founder Marcin Iwiński. I have no clue if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and I apologize if I didn't. Studio head Adam Badowski and global communications manager Michal Plasko-Jelewski. I'm totally destroying all these pronunciations, for a meeting called specifically to address this issue. It's been a busy week, and one for one reason or another, it's taken until about 3 days later to face this head on. So, the Eurogamer asked, did the console versions restrict the PC versions? And according to them, quote, if the consoles are not involved, there is no Witcher 3 as it is. We can lay it out as simply. We cannot afford it because consoles allow us to go higher in terms of possible or achievable sales, have a higher budget for the game, and invest it all into developing this huge, gigantic world. Developing only for the PC, yes, probably we could get more in terms of graphics, as there would be nothing else. They would be so focused, like if we could develop only on Xbox One or PlayStation 4, but we cannot afford such a game. Unquote. So, why did the graphics change? He says, quote, if you're looking at the development process, we do a certain build for a trade show and you pack it, it works, it looks amazing, and you're extremely far away from completing the game. Then you put it in open world, regardless of the platform, and it's like, oh crap, it doesn't really work. We've already showed it, and now we have to make it work, and we have to make it work on a huge scale. This is the nature of game development. Unquote. And then it was actually PC footage. It was not pre-rendered, is what they showed at VGX. And he says, quote, if people see changes, we cannot argue, but there are complex technical reasons behind it. Maybe it was our bad decision to change the rendering system, because the rendering system after VGX has changed. Unquote. And he says the rendering system they had before VGX didn't work out because it looked nicer. One would require a lot of dynamic lighting and such, so it just didn't all work out. So they said, quote, people are saying that 2013 was better, but actually there's plenty of things that improved since 2013, the size of the world, the frames per second, and the game's performance. People all say that the game is well optimized. This is the first time for CD Projekt Red, unquote. Yeah, it's well optimized if your computer's not a two-year-old laptop. So they do say, quote, maybe we shouldn't have shown the trailer. I don't know, but we didn't know that it wasn't going to work, so it's not a lie or bad will. It's just we didn't, and that's why we didn't comment actively. We don't agree that there is a downgrade, but it's our opinion, and gamers' feelings can be different. If they made their purchasing decision based on the 2013 materials, I'm deeply sorry for that, and we are discussing how we can make it up to them, because that's not fair. It's very important to stress. We are continuously working on the PC version, and we'll be adding a lot of stuff, and there is more to come. We've proven it in the past that we support our games, and we will be looking at the feedback, trying to make it better, unquote. So they're saying, we don't agree with you, but that doesn't mean that you're wrong. Like I said, this is a gamers game development company. And they say that they're discussing how they can make it up to people who bought based on what they saw in 2013, and what they're getting is not what they saw in 2013. So maybe people will be getting refunds because the game looks gorgeous, but not gorgeous enough. So why did they not say anything until now? They say, quote, frankly speaking, because we didn't see it as a problem. And they said that, quote, they didn't ignore the issue. Every tweet, every mention of the issue for weeks has been sent to the tech team to immediately address. And they've seen firsthand how closely they monitor everything about the game and how much they care. You're saying that we should have said, hey, we changed stuff and now it looks like this, unquote. And you know, do they have something to hide? Quote, so actually here we strongly disagree because we're not trying to hide anything, unquote. And he says you can't hide what people can so easily compare and see. They say, quote, we don't feel good about it, and I treat it very personally. Maybe it doesn't seem like that because we run around like crazy at the release, but the whole team was touched by this. They really care. If you play it and you are not fine, really, that's touching, and we'll do our best to make it up. But if you didn't play it and you're trolling, think twice. In a way, because of us not seeing it as a problem and working hard on the game until the very end, that's where we are today, and that's what we have to explain. I hope it shows our intentions, because we're not hiding anything. Considering our values, hiding it is the last thing we want to do. And for those who are still not 100% decided, I definitely encourage them to wait and see what we will be releasing in patches, updates, and whatnot, unquote. So they are actually releasing, they actually released a patch that had like 100 things fixed already on the PC, and they're going to be working on other stuff apparently on the PC. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt because I have seen how they react to things and how they've acted in the past and what their values are. And they deserve the benefit of the doubt. This is not Ubisoft. This is not EA. This is a small Polish company that has the same values you do. You hate DRM. You hate having to being nickel and dimed on DLC. Well, they're already saying DRM free, 16 free pieces of DLC, because we're not going to stop working on the game just because you've already bought it. Dungeon Buster says, I had the same experience with Witcher 2 on my old PC at the highest levels. It crushed it. And he thought that the response I'm saying is pretty honest in his answer. It's not a pretty answer, but it makes a lot of sense. Given a choice between content or looks, I'll go with content. And some people are also like, now one of the things, Dungeon Bus says, installation of Witcher 3 came with an option to install GOG Galaxy at the time, which you can opt out of too. I actually didn't get that option. They, on the website, it said you can install GOG Galaxy, which I guess is their kind of like launcher patch thing. Or you could just download the files directly. And that's what I did. And I actually did that on Tuesday. So like the game had already come out, and I didn't even have to worry about installing any GOG Galaxy or anything. So, like I said, that's, you know, if you don't want that stuff, it's, you don't have to have it. If you like Steam, you can buy Witcher 3 on Steam and have it all handled by Steam. I would love to tell you how the actual game is. I haven't been able to play it. Maybe, just maybe, maybe somebody who has played it can tell me actually how it is. I've heard good things, but I trust you guys more than other reviewers. I trust you guys more than I trust myself. Okay, Judah said, I had no interest in buying The Witcher 3, but now that I heard the story, I want to buy a copy to support them. I love a good dev company. And ActDev says, you can have sex on a unicorn. Enough said. I've heard about that, too. And Dungeon Buster says, with the patching, it asks you if you want to patch through GOG Galaxy or manually get the patches. You're not forced to get it through the Galaxy. You can actually manually download the patches. It's not as convenient, but if you're worried about using an automatic updater, you don't have to. And this is why I think that CD Projekt Red should be given some time to sort out the issues. If you are upset about the graphical downgrade, I wish it was downgraded more so I could play the copy that was so graciously given to me for free by CD Projekt Red last year. Or I could just buy it on PS4 and have it there. The Xbox One version, I believe, has like a big save game bug. So stay away from the Xbox One version. But I think the PS4 version, if you don't have a good PC, I think the PS4 version is the way to go. Especially if you have a PC. The last story that I want to talk about is one about, actually, like one of the stories. I'm about to turn 10 years old doing this podcast, 10 years in July. And one of the first big things, the big thing going on in the industry at the time, was a lawyer trying to sue a game company because they used coffee as a euphemism. And that story has ended. That chapter in video game history is completely ended, and so now it's time to look back. And the BBC is actually going to be doing that, so we think. IGN reports that Rockstar Games, via its parent company Take-Two Interactive, has filed a lawsuit against the BBC in London for trademark infringement in relation to the broadcaster's upcoming drama Game Changer, which is a working title. The 90-minute feature will focus on the real-life conflict between Rockstar president Sam Houser and the U.S. former lawyer and outspoken critic of the Grand Theft Auto series, Jack Thompson, who we usually call Voldemort here, but since I don't think he's coming back. Daniel Radcliffe and Bill Paxton will be playing the respective roles. So, I mean, I'll meet Bill Paxton. So maybe if we say his name, Bill Paxton shows up, that's totally cool with me. So Rockstar's statement to IGN was, quote, Take-Two Interactive has filed suit against the BBC for trademark infringement based on their movie currently titled Game Changer as it relates to Rockstar Games' Grand Theft Auto video game series. While holders of the trademarks referenced in the film title and its promotion, Rockstar Games had no involvement with this project. Our goal is to ensure that our trademarks are not misused to the BBC's pursuit of an unofficial depiction of purported events related to Rockstar Games. We have attempted multiple times to resolve this matter with the BBC without any meaningful resolution. It is our obligation to protect our intellectual property, and unfortunately, in this case, litigation was necessary, unquote. BBC says, quote, we do not comment on legal matters, unquote. So the made-for-TV drama began filming on April 20th and is currently scheduled to broadcast later this year and is part of a BBC season centered on coding-based programs and activities. You got to realize one thing about – this is the part that I don't exactly understand. I'm sure Obi-Wan Jabroni's chomping at the bit to comment on this story when it goes up on Friday, when this episode goes up, is that this is in the UK. So everything I know about – freedom of speech and all that stuff, that's all based on the U.S. Constitution. That doesn't apply here. There are different rules based on trademark infringement and fair use in the U.K. than there are in the U.S. So I can't I don't really know if Rockstar can do this or not. I know that books can be written about companies, and you know, if it is considered fair use here in the U.S. I know documentaries can be made about companies and naming them directly. Even fictional, you know, docudramas or whatever. And it's still considered fair use. I don't know what it is in the UK. So I don't know. I don't exactly know what's at play here. But I'm sure that the BBC has done this type of thing to other companies that didn't like what they were trying to do. And so I'm sure they know how to get around it. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll take your calls. Maybe you'll tell me about The Witcher 3, because I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet, other than the tutorial, and I'm like, I can't even jump across these buildings without falling. I do know there's no health regeneration, automatic health regeneration, so welcome to the early 2000s of RPGs, where you have to refill your own health. It doesn't regenerate for you, like all you noobs that play games today where you stop fighting and your health comes back up in 10 seconds. It's hardcore. It's The Witcher 3. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
What's up? It's Jake Kaufman. When I'm not scoring Shovel Knight or doing awesome chip tunes, I'm participating in the Bobby Blackwell Show.
That was Vert, the legendary Vert. I got to interview him a couple months ago about his VR project, but he also does a lot of neat stuff with other game soundtracks. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be writing awesome game soundtracks, but if you do, let me know anyway. All you got to do is leave an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free line, which are now open. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1. That is the toll-free number. You can call in and talk about anything going on in the gaming industry, especially if you've actually been able to play The Witcher 3, unlike me. And we can actually talk about the game instead of controversy surrounding the game. That would be fantastic, because we can only talk about the controversies for so long before we go, well, then how's the actual game? People were talking about how Dungeon Buster says the tutorial is a lot friendlier than Witcher 2. And there is a regeneration ability in Witcher 3, but you have to earn it, and it's more of a luxury than a lifestyle thing, life-saving thing. And he said that Adam Sessler was complaining about running into lots of mobs more powerful than him at random. He should get used to it. It's because Sessler, according to Eric RPG, is an old softy. I did choose the easy mode, which I don't know how easy it's going to be, but it was the top easiest mode when I started the game. Eric RPG says, speaking of Black Wolf Friends Forever mode, Fire Emblem will have a super easy mode that basically makes it impossible to lose. I like that. So it becomes a visual novel with a tactical minigame. If I was interested in the story of Fire Emblem, I might pick that up. And Dojo Buster says, it's not easy mode. Think of the modes in Witcher 3 as how do you choose to play enjoy the adventure modes. And I think the easy mode is I just want to enjoy the story. I think that's the mode that I picked. I think that's what it's actually called. So like I said, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Or there's other games that have come out, if you want to try to talk about those. Or games coming out soon. I know Splatoon has done a couple of like field tests. The new first-person shooter third-person shooter. The new shooter on the Wii U, which a lot of people are very impressed with. I have not been home on the 1 hour on the Saturday that they opened up those tests, so I did not get a chance to check it out. But maybe you have, and you want to talk about that and enlighten us about that. Sky says, Black Wolf Friends Forever mode still gives you achievements, too. I got one in the little that he played. See, that's good. I like that I can still get achievements while still playing easy mode, because I need the validation in my life. Eric RPG wants to know what Black Wolf Friends Forever is. So that the term, if you're a new listener, the term actually is based on the Borderlands 2 Necromancer, which was I can't even remember what the actual term. It's something Best Friends Forever, I think, is what it is. That was the tech tree. That was basically like an easy mode to playing Borderlands 2, and it was incorrect. Like one of the designers called it girlfriend mode, and that got like all this play, like every single site talked about it and everything. But nobody actually wanted to talk to him, and I actually did an interview with that designer a couple weeks afterwards. Nobody had asked to interview him, and I asked him, what were you thinking, basically, and we talked about it, and I said that was my favorite mode in any game, so we've redubbed it Black Wolf Friends Forever. But it's a play on the Borderlands 2 Best Friends Forever mode for the Necromancer, where basically you don't even have to aim all that well to hit enemies. So we do finally have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Yeah, I was trying to buy time for you, but no one called in.
Yeah.
So
what's going on, Eric?
I'm just hanging out and listening to your show and getting ready to write a review. But I also like to congratulate you on your 10th podcast birthday.
Yeah, it's where you're about you're exactly 2 months early.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, because it was July 24th.
Oh, I might forget. So,
you might forget, but thank you. Thank you. It's been a long road.
Mm-hmm. And my own show is just about 3 years out from that.
Yeah. Yeah, congratulations on that, because it's not easy to continue doing this week after week. Trust me. I have burnt out several times.
Mm-hmm.
As longtime listeners of the podcast feed know, when like the podcast feed didn't get updated for like a year, yeah, it's called burnout.
Anyways, so I've been playing a couple games. I've been playing that Akiba Strip game. They're releasing on PC.
So what is this game?
This is a game where you go around in a slightly open world environment. Mm-hmm. It has fixed camera angles, but there is a map to explore of sorts. But you basically go around fighting like these artificial vampires that suck energy out instead of blood. And you have to expose them to sunlight, so that means you have to beat them up and then tear their clothes off. It's a really wacky game.
Okay. Only in Japan can somebody come up with this.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, I played Splatoon over the weekend.
So how is it actually? How is it really? And so you played it more than just the 1 hour?
Yeah. The single player is kind of set up like Super Mario Galaxy or something like that, where you go through a level and then you pick up a thing at the end.
Okay.
And they give you various challenges, and basically it kind of works as a training mode, but it's also very puzzle-based, so it's still kind of a unique experience.
So does it say, like, Splat Git at the end? Or Shine Splat?
Nah, it doesn't say anything. It should have.
It should.
Yeah. Always making fun of English, but
yes.
Anyways, the online play, I didn't really play much of it, but I played enough of it to get a good feel. Mm-hmm. But the biggest problem for me playing online is being able to find people to play online, because it's not out yet.
Right.
But other than that, though, I have a couple issues outside of that, because when you get into a lobby, you have to wait for an entire group of 8 people to show up. There is no 2-versus-2 or 3-versus-3 mode. And as far as I can tell, at least at the moment, there aren't any alternative gameplay styles that would accommodate those. Mm-hmm. So you only have turf war, and the idea of that is to get more ink of your team's color on the screen than the other team.
Okay.
And I think the problem with that is that there are no ways to gain experience like outside of turf war, so there's no single player options for that. There is a 1-versus-1 mode, but it's only for local play.
So, how do you communicate with your team?
You don't, because there's no voice chat.
So it's a team game where you can't communicate.
I think there are like presets, but they're not really helpful.
All but, in the name of defending the children.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't want to go online and meet with people who would randomly throw obscenities at me, but I would have liked it if they had worked something out with Skype and Microsoft so they could get some kind of program working.
Well, they do.
With,
I think
with friends only.
They are capable of doing voice chat because they've already, like, the Wii U already does that. You could actually have, like, a video chat with the Wii. It's just they decided not to do it even for friends.
Yeah.
And that was always kind of curious to me.
Active says there's ranked matches. I already knew about that. I just hadn't talked about it yet. But that's fun. And then there's DLC coming. So I guess that will satisfy my fix. But right out of the gate, it's not. It's very slim. So
wait for the Platinum Edition that has all the DLC included.
Nah, they won't do Platinum. They'll do one of their like greatest hits for whatever they're called.
Right. Yeah, but, Kaijudo even says even the 3DS has voice chat in Pokemon.
Yeah, I hear it's not that good though.
Yeah,
and that's why most people avoid putting voice chat in their games in the first place.
Right,
which is why a lot of people do turn to Skype.
Yeah. So. But, what else?
I really like the single player, and it's pretty. It's a very colorful game.
That's good.
I hope there are like challenge levels that they'll be able to get later for the single player.
Yeah, if they support
like,
it,
there's amiibo challenges, but I don't want to have to buy amiibo just to use those.
Yeah, because like I mean, I'm over the amiibo thing. I checked my greatest bits for all my amiibo, and I'm like, okay, cool, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's like I don't need to buy more amiibo just to get more 3-minute snippets.
Also, like to put up a reminder that a couple of my reviews are up on VogNetwork.com.
Right. Thank you so much. Mm. We really do appreciate it. So yeah, go to VogNetwork.com, check out Eric's reviews. He's got a couple up. You've done a couple in the past couple of weeks. So everybody check those out. And if you've played them, leave your response. Gets points.
That's all I have to say. And. Right. I'll help let somebody else call, so I'll get off the line.
All right, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
So, the greatest bits I got, my Mario gave me Super Mario Brothers. My Wii Fit trainer got me Metroid. And the Peach that my girlfriend got, it got Kirby Superstar. So, and it was kind of neat, because like, the Kirby Superstar one, the points that it puts you in are like when it like mimics other games. That's where it starts you. So, like, when it's the Pokemon style or the RPG, it starts you there at one point. At the shoot 'em up portion, it starts you there. So, you know, they picked some good spots in terms of where to start you in Kirby. So I don't think anybody else is going to call in. So we're going to go ahead and tell you what's going on next year at the Voice Geeks Network. It's Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much longer than I do, and even though it's a holiday weekend, we are all still working for you. Sacramento, you guys there?
Working hard or hardly working?
One of the two. What's up, guys?
We'll let you know. Hi, Bobby. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
From Convention Town, USA.
Yes. So many conventions. It's convention season. I don't even have to go that far.
It is. It must be nice. Of course, Fanime is this weekend, and I know like some of our OLR people are there. Actually, this is funny. Jason, our usual announcer, he has the night off because he's at Fanime in the Bay Area, and he just texted me. He ran into Jonas, who's another like OLR persona with the big anime, the baggers, the anime big game room, the game big anime room,
the big anime game room.
Yeah, that's it. So they met IRL. Through their mutual participation in this show. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, and I think Denver Comic Con's going on this weekend because that's where Ranma and the Anime Jam Session crew is.
It is. Ranma and Patty are over in Denver. I think they had a mess of a time getting there. But yeah, they're there because, yes, Rama's been tagging me in cosplay photos that he thinks I'd be interested in, which, you know, gotta love him for that.
Yeah. So next week I'll be covering, there's a big indie gaming festival where they're actually giving out prizes. And they've had submissions and stuff, so I'm going to get to see a lot of indie games next week that are competing, and we're going to be interviewing a lot of them. That's going to be all my interviews.
Nice.
For the next couple weeks.
That sounds a lot like the SAC thing we did here, the indie arcade we did a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Except I'm not trying to broadcast any panels. So I can just be there and play the games. And our friends at the Southern Fried Game Room Expo, they're providing pinball and arcade tables to the gaming room.
It was an experiment, and you know we learned some things from that. As far as quality goes, of the sound quality, right. Panel quality is great and everything. You know the show is fantastic. We learned a lot about the broadcasting and that technical end of it because we were really out of practice. But we've been asked to do something else in the future. Nice. Details because we'll be doing something else for sure. So that's kind of fun.
That's cool. So have you played The Witcher 3 now?
A little bit. It actually does run on my computer, but you might remember I built a new computer last year because Final Fantasy XIV was kind of struggling. That other computer was about 6 years old at that point, so it was struggling with Final Fantasy. So last year I built a new computer and put in some you know, high end for the time stuff. I think I just missed the graphics card you need for Oculus Rift, though, which kind of irritates me. But eh. But Witcher works, and Witcher works great, and it's gorgeous.
But it's a graphical downgrade, Rob. Don't you understand?
You know what? I wouldn't have even known about that stuff if you hadn't just talked about it, because I wasn't paying attention that closely to it. I remember when we were in the E3 presentation, I remember they showed a pretty extensive scene from the game where they were doing a quest from start to finish. And I remember one, you know, definite reaction I had that I don't usually get in looking at video games was I went, the art direction in this game is really amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding that to be true just in the little bit that I've played so far, just in the introduction sequences of the game. I was like, wow, the art style and the way they kind of tell the story is really good. But in all fairness, I've only played through the tutorial. That's it. I have not played any further simply because I've been engrossed in Final Fantasy X HD Remaster. And I'm trying to not let my gamer ADD, as I joke about on the show, I'm really trying to not let that get the best of me. And I'm really trying to see through the Final Fantasy X to completion because, you know, I love that game and a lot about, you know, the Final Fantasy series in general. And it looks great on PlayStation 4. The colors pop. The textures are well done. I mean, it does still show its age a little bit, but really, it looks fantastic, and I'm just having a good time experiencing the story again and getting to see the full motion videos and things like that in high definition.
Yeah. Now, I did not, even though I said I was interested, I did not get it on PS4, mm-hmm. but I learned something very sad about my PS3. My PS3 is fine.
Yeah.
But my DualShock 3 that I only bought one of.
Uh huh.
The battery's dead in it.
Oh.
Like, it's totally... Like, it works fine if I'm plugged in.
Yeah.
But if I, like, hit the PS button, it doesn't... Like, nothing lights up.
Oh, no.
And if I, like... I have, like, an external charger that I had, like... Because it could charge, like... It was something that plugged in. I could charge my controllers in it, but also, like, it had the Move controller and the wand things mm-hmm. there. And it lights up blue. It says, oh, it's fully charged. When I put it in there, but it's not, and I've even like tried resetting it. There's like a little button that you have to use a needle to reset it, and that doesn't do anything. So I need to buy a new DualShock, and they're still $55.
Oh my gosh!
The DualShock 3's new are still $50. $55.
Use your PlayStation 4 controller with the PlayStation 3.
I can do that, but I do have two of the regular like non-vibration 6-axis. When they said that, you know, force feedback was last gen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So last gen, and they didn't need to pay the licensing fee for that. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
So, and Tigerclaw says, didn't Sony have a plan to replace the batteries of your controllers? I don't know. And if there is, they probably say, go get a PS4 controller.
Ooh, you might want to Google that just in case, though. You never know. Would that work if you plugged it into, like, a laptop that was on the couch with you? Like, because it could get its power from the laptop?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the battery or the Bluetooth or anything. I haven't tried.
Interesting.
But I do have a USB extension cord, so I can actually sit on my couch with the controller.
That's not as bad.
So it's not as bad, but or I've got those two that don't have rumble.
Ah, gotcha.
So I learned that, so I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, it's sad, and it's like the console's fine. I've had to replace the console, but I'm like, man. I was just surprised. It's still $55.
Yeah, that surprises me hearing that too. My gosh! But I guess maybe the technology in them hasn't really come down in price. I don't know.
Or people will still pay it. I don't know. And I actually, here's one of the things. Also, I went on Amazon just to look at the price, and it was still $55. And one of the things that was interesting to note is that Amazon themselves doesn't sell the DualShock 3 anymore.
Mm.
It's all from third party sellers. And one of the top reviews on Amazon, which was a couple months ago, was from somebody who bought that DualShock 3, which was listed as the official Sony one, from one of the third-party sellers.
Hmm.
And he said, they did not send me the official Sony one. They sent him a knockoff that looked almost exactly like the Sony one.
Oh, yeah.
But it had a different back plate, but it still had the Sony branding, so it was actually a knockoff that they sold to him through Amazon. So it's like you can't even trust, even if you go to Amazon and say, I want to buy new, the Sony DualShock 3, you might still get a seller that sells you a knockoff that's not as good.
Like at a GameStop, I don't know, though. I don't know.
So
for, like, used controller, but you could run in the same risk.
Yeah, and but you see, and now here's the thing. I'm going to segue into this because as you so told everybody last week, my birthday was recently. I turned 29 again.
Yes.
And my brother gave me a gift card, which we usually do because we don't exactly know what to get each other, and usually like it's Best Buy gift cards. This time around, he gave me a gift card to the Evil G.
Oh, well, you know, he probably doesn't listen to this show regularly and know about the Evil G stuff, so... At least it's not your money you're spending there.
No, I know. So I'm still like trying to figure out like I should go in there and just get like a $25 points card. That way they make no money off of it.
There you go.
And then I can, you know, be happy.
Or wait for that whole thing where they're going to be selling the retro games. That might be worth it.
That may be worth it. But then they'd still get a profit off that.
Yeah, but, you know, you win some,
I've
you
got
lose.
Principles. I'm like CD Projekt Red. I have principles. What else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
We're going to talk a little bit about Splatoon as well. I know you got some of that on the last call, but we're going to talk a little bit about Splatoon and the recent test fire that happened, our own spin on the Nintendo World Championships as well. As far as things you didn't talk about tonight, we'll talk about the teaser that just came out for Need for Speed. It looks like we're going to get a new one of those this year, and that'll be some talk at E3, as well as Doom coming to E3, it looks like. We'll see some things on that. And a new Pokemon game as well at E3. Well, maybe not the Pokemon game you're thinking of, although there'll probably be one of those as well.
How many times are we going to reboot Need for Speed? I mean, seriously.
As many as it takes for you to keep buying them. Every time they screw it up, reboot.
I don't buy them. Well, I bought the one because that was like the only game on the PS4 I wanted.
That's as many times as we're going to reboot Batman.
I haven't bought one in a while. However... This is going to be the first one that's, I think, that's exclusively next-gen consoles, right? Because the last one, it was on PlayStation 4,
yeah.
But they also had a version on the 3, and it was on Wii U. Yeah. So I'm very curious. I want to see like what the graphics and what that speed is going to look like, because I do love a fast racer. And if I'm not going to get F-Zero or Blur, then I'll settle for Need for Speed.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. You can catch us live, interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook, Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, or you can contact me on my website. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody. I know that, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters here on the holiday weekend all around the world, apparently, not just in the U.S., but thank you so much. Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Hecht, Ranma, Sky, VXJXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Nation, Actift, Bacon Bits, Bob Coffee, Brad from Pod Culture, Bird, DeBlue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Gripper01, Hitstun, Holly, Kaijudo, Kenzie, Kazan, Matt Cube, MXT, Orange Wright, Raginator, SJ1er, Matt, Tiger Claw, Toagak, and Zappy. I'm out of here. And hey, ActF said twice the internet would go down. It actually has not gone down yet. I have 1 minute left to make it through an entire show without my internet going down. This is cause for celebration. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.
Made it through the entire show.